Welcome to the deep dive. You know, if you're in business, you hear the term lead generation thrown around all the time.
All the time.
But for so many, it just feels like a constant scramble. You're just throwing campaigns at a wall, right? An email blast here, a new ad there.
And hoping something sticks. And that, as our sources really dig into today, is exactly why so many companies get stuck in this cycle of volatility.
Okay, so it's not a bag of tricks.
No. Lead generation is a system. It's a structured, repeatable pipeline. And that's what our deep dive is all about today, unpacking that whole mechanism.
The system for creating demand, capturing it, and then actually moving people toward being ready to buy.
Exactly. And the sources are so clear on this. Success comes down to tracking three key signals: attention, intent, and readiness. If you can't identify and advance those, you're just guessing.
So let's set this up for everyone listening. The big distinction here is that traffic without capture, or I guess capture without any real qualification,
it creates volume, but no value.
It's just a vanity metric.
Completely. It's noise. The whole point of a process framework is to prevent these disconnects. It forces structure, shared definitions, and accountability. We're moving from just running campaigns to managing a durable system.
Okay, so let's walk through the high-level flow that the source documents lay out. It's a progression, right?
It is. And if one stage fails, the whole thing is compromised downstream.
It's a cascade.
A total cascade. It starts with demand creation.
Yeah.
Then it moves to engagement and capture. Then qualification, nurturing the big handoff. And finally, optimization.
So let's zoom in on that first one, demand creation. You said this happens before a lead even exists. What does that mean?
It means you're not just trying to get contacts. You're establishing awareness. Mm-hmm. You're aligning your message to a specific problem, a priority, or a buying trigger.
And the sources seemed really focused on clarity here, not just volume.
Oh, absolutely. It's not about the broadest reach. It's about attracting the right people, the decision makers who already know they have a problem.
So the deliverable isn't just attention.
No, it's attention with intent signals attached. Think about it. Someone searching what is cloud computing has very low intent.
Right.
But someone searching integration limitations of CRMX versus CRMY, that's a huge signal. That's high intent.
And if you get the right people with the wrong expectations because your message was too broad, you're already behind.
You're already fighting a losing battle before you've even captured a lead.
Which brings us right to stage two. Once you have that intent, how do you actually, you know, convert them from a passive visitor to an active lead?
This is engagement and conversion.
Mm.
And lead capture in this framework is more than just getting an email address.
It's an exchange.
It's an intentional exchange of information for value. A real lead needs context, where they came from, what they saw, and identifiable intent.
So let's get practical. We've all seen those forms that feel like a data heist. Asking for company revenue just to download a PDF?
That's the classic mistake. Mm. The sources are clear. You have to balance the information you demand with the value you offer.
The friction has to match the value.
Exactly. If the form is too much work for a simple checklist, people will leave. Or worse, they'll give you fake data.
I love that idea of friction alignment.
The rules are pretty simple. A clear value exchange, minimal friction for what you're offering, and contextual alignment. The whole thing should feel like a guided journey, not a transaction.
Okay, so we've captured the information. Now we hit what feels like the most critical gatekeeper stage for the whole organization: qualification.
I'd agree. The sources call it a decision system, and its purpose is singular.
Which is?
To protect sales capacity.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a gatekeeper that decides if lead is ready for sales or if it needs more nurturing.
And when companies get this wrong,
they flood sales with junk. They prioritize pipeline volume over close rates, and it just erodes trust. Sales stops taking the lead seriously.
So bad qualification is basically a tax on your sales team's time.
A huge tax. And it's expensive. Reps get cynical, follow-up slows down, and leads decay. This is why the qualification frameworks are built around four core signals.
Okay, let's list them out. What are they?
One, problem relevance or urgency. Does this person need a solution now? Two, organizational or individual fit. Are they our ideal customer?
Mm.
Three, decision authority or influence. And four, timing and readiness to act. That's it. Qualification is just making a structured decision based on those four things.
But wait a second. That third one, decision authority, that seems tricky. How do you qualify for that without just asking, are you the CEO, on a form and scaring them off?
That's a great question, and it's where the nuance comes in. You don't ask directly. You track behavioral signals.
Okay, like what?
Did they download an executive summary or did they download a technical pricing guide? The content they consume lets you infer their influence, which is usually enough to get them into the right bucket.
And that brings us to the buckets, the famous MQLs in SQLs, marketing qualified versus sales qualified.
Right. An MQL, the marketing qualified lead, just indicates engagement and fit. Marketing is saying, hey, this one looks promising. The goal there is to nurture them, keep them warm.
And in SQL.
In SQL, or sales qualified lead, signals true readiness. They're ready for a direct sales conversation. Maybe they filled out a request, a demo form. For SQLs, the goal is immediate conversion.
And if that distinction isn't crystal clear, you get the classic friction point, the handoff.
The dreaded handoff. Marketing complains sales isn't following up, and sales complains the leads are terrible.
So you need a process.
You need a standardized handoff mechanism. It transfers ownership, but more importantly, it transfers context. It has to be fast, often within an hour for a hot lead, and it has to be complete.
What's the essential information that has to be in that handoff?
The sources list four non-negotiables. One, the source and the specific triggering activity, what they just click on. Two, the content they consumed.
Okay.
Three, the qualification rationale. Why are we calling this a school? And four, a recommended next action for the sales rep, so they don't have to start from scratch.
And if a lead isn't in SQL yet, they go into nurturing. The sources describe this as maturing intent, not just, you know, spamming them with emails.
Exactly. It's maturity versus pressure. Good nurturing provides educational value. You move them from a basic guide to a specific case study, increasing their confidence until they are ready for sales.
All right, we've gone through the life cycle of a lead. Let's zoom out to operational excellence. And first, a quick clarification on the two main flavors here. Inbound versus outbound.
Sure. Inbound is about attracting prospects. They come to you, you get warmer leads, but the cycles can be longer.
Then outbound.
Outbound is when you initiate contact, you go to them, you get faster feedback, but rejection rates are obviously higher. Most healthy systems use a mix of both.
And that mix often depends on what you're selling.
Absolutely. The sources point out that low-cost products often lean heavily on high-volume inbound. But if you're selling high-value enterprise deals, you need that tailored, high-quality outbound approach.
Okay, now for something that can feel a little dry, but is so critical, data quality is process quality.
It's everything. I mean, poor data isn't an IT problem. It's a revenue problem. It's foundational.
How so?
Well, think about it. If you can't segment leads properly because your data is a mess, you're wasting ad spend. If your routing data is wrong, a hot lead just sits in a queue while your competitor calls them.
And it kills personalization. Sending a personalized email with the wrong company size or industry is worse than sending nothing.
It's so much worse. That's why you need things like standardized field definitions, everyone agrees on what industry means, and regular data hygiene. These aren't just cleanup tasks. They're essential process functions.
So where do the big automation tools fit into this? Things like HubSpot, Marketo, Pardo?
Automation is an amplifier. It supports execution and scale, but it must follow a clear process.
An amplifier of what?
Of whatever you put into it. If your process is a mess, if your definitions are subjective, automation just helps you do messy things faster. It never, ever replaces strategy.
So, assuming the machine is running, what's the one metric we should be looking at to gauge the health of this whole system?
Lead velocity.
Lead velocity.
Yep. It measures how quickly leads move between stages. Your conversion rate tells you what happened. Velocity tells you how efficiently it happened. It's the metric that exposes bottlenecks and friction that the static numbers just can't see.
Okay, now let's get into the strategic refinements that really make this process sing. Let's start with segmentation.
Segmentation is how you stop guessing. You replace these broad, lazy assumptions with targeted relevance. It makes everything convert better because you're speaking to a specific need.
And you can segment by things like problem type, company size.
Or, more importantly, the buyer's role and their stage of awareness. Are they just learning about the problem or are they ready to compare vendors?
We also have to touch on the massive difference between B2B and B2C here.
Oh, yeah. You can't just copy-paste the process. If you apply the wrong approach, you either create too much friction or too much noise.
Explain that.
B2B is all about multiple stakeholders, long cycles, and high qualification. B2C is about speed, volume, and emotion. If you put a long B2B form on a B2C product page, no one will ever convert.
And if you use a high-speed B2C approach for an enterprise sale,
you'll just generate thousands of garbage leads that sales can't do anything with.
What I found really fascinating in the sources was this point that most Legion failures don't happen within a stage.
No, they happen at the transition points.
At the handoffs.
Exactly. Marketing to sales, sales back to nurturing. That's where the system breaks down. And it's usually because of unclear definitions or misaligned incentives.
So how do you fix a breakdown at a transition point?
With process clarity, first and foremost, everyone has to agree on the definitions. And then you need a service level agreement, an SLA.
An SLA.
Yeah. Marketing agrees to deliver sequels that meet X, Y, and Z criteria. And sales agrees to follow up on those leads within a specific time frame. It creates cross-functional ownership. No more pointing fingers.
And finally, attribution. Making sure your investments are actually grounded in what works.
Right. You have to move past just crediting the first ad someone clicked.
Right.
You need multi-touch attribution to see the whole journey. Which blog posts, which ads, which emails actually contributed to the final sale. Otherwise, you're just guessing where to put your money.
Okay, to bring this all together for you listening, the big idea from all our source material is that lead generation is, well, it's an engineering project. It's a process of progression and refinement.
It's not a series of tactics you run. It's a pipeline you build, and you have to constantly audit it. It demands ownership from multiple teams and, as we said, really clean data.
And to reinforce that, let's be clear. There's lead generation creating the demand, and then there's lead management.
Right. Lead management is the infrastructure underneath. It's how you track, route, and report on everything. And a weak management system will completely undermine even the best generation efforts.
Which brings us to a final provocative thought for you to take away. Your process design has to evolve. Early on, you might prioritize just speed and volume, but as you mature, you have to prioritize efficiency and predictability. And scaling, especially scaling fast, puts incredible stress on that system.
So the question for you to ask is this. If you push 10 times your current volume through your system tomorrow, a huge sudden spike in demand, what would fail?
What hidden dependencies would just snap?
Exactly. What qualification thresholds would break? Which team's ownership would become unclear? Would your data systems just collapse?
Because scaling successfully means you have to revisit those thresholds and those agreements now to build that resilience in before the system is under stress.
Thank you for diving deep with us.
We encourage you to explore some related resources that can really strengthen your process, especially around campaign management, advanced list building, and making sure you have high email deliverability.